From the Marquee Media Studio inside Mark Tank, it's the Mark Haney Show.
Yes, it's the Mark Haney Show on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And we do that by building the Backyard Advantage, which is becoming the most connected community in the world for local entrepreneurs. And it's based upon this culture of love. It's one entrepreneur at a time, one conversation at a time. And that conversation, it begins with one simple question. What are you working on? How can I help? I am here with my business partner, Tom Schildemeyer. He is a partner in Growth Factory Ventures. And that's really one of the topics that we're going to be talking about today is, first of all, we'll ask Tom, what are you working on? How can I help? But beyond that, the culture of the backyard, it's becoming really, we talk about this culture of love. And so we're going to dive into that a little bit. But I also want Tom to share some real world principles about success. He's an entrepreneur. He's had a successful exit. He's been in the corporate career ladder and done really well. And he's also, he's a good athlete. This guy was a high school, did you play in college too?
Yep.
You have, see, I look at, if you made it to high school, that was good. Tom's like, no, I played in college, son. But he really is just one of those genuine guys that makes you want to be around him. And I think that that's why he's such a good fit for the Growth Factory. He's kind of got this magnetic personality. So you'll get that today. If you don't get it from me, you will get it from Tom. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Mark. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being on the show. And maybe to start with, and we break this show up into categories, why don't we just learn a little bit about you and your, I guess, your business career and background. What led you to entrepreneurship? How did that go? And then maybe, and then we can kind of take it to the Growth Factory a little bit.
Okay, well, we can do that. And thank you for having me. I'm really excited. And it's really funny when you say what my career, I kind of start with the end is I'm here. Mm. And this is part of my career. It really is. You mentioned the Backyard Advantage and network, and that's what attracted me here in the first place. And we can talk about that later, how I got here. But ultimately, I left corporate, started as an entrepreneur, and had a lack of resources, couldn't get access to resources. And it's that Backyard Advantage. And so when I left corporate again the second time around, I met with a friend, Anthony Romano, who's a CEO, and mentioned to him.
And Anthony Romano, he is another one of the, I mean, we're filled in the backyard. If you don't have to look far around our community to find someone just who's one of the best people in the world. Anthony Romano, he's the CEO of Cretelligent, a fast-growing startup company that we happen to be invested in, or I happen to be invested into.
So, but literally sitting down across the table from him, and I was just saying, like, I would love to find a way to help these entrepreneurs, you know, get access to resources, understand where you can go to talk to, you know, any business operations, accounting, HR, and not waste those times. And he said, you know, you really need to talk to Mark in the Backyard, you know, Backyard Advantage and listen to his podcast. And so I started listening to the podcast. And at the same time, I had a friend named Jody Krieger. My wife said, hey, you got to talk to Jody about this because she knows a lot of people. And then Jody introduced me to Bill Miller, who was doing some work with you guys. Mm-hmm. And then so he introduced me to Nikki and Monique. And I'm bringing this up because it's really having a conversation and sharing what you're doing and what you're working on. What are you working on? How can I help? That's what led me here. And then, so if you go back in my career, didn't have those resources. So I grew up in Wilton, went to Elk Grove High School, played baseball and football, went to St. Mary's, played baseball, and had a great, you know, great time there. Great, had a lot of great teams, good coaches, good resources. But then you come out in the real world. What do I do?
Yeah.
So I went to Big Five Sporting Goods, worked retail for almost 2 years found that the network you create there, understanding all the different aspects of retail helps you understand business. But then I wanted to get into the professional side of business since I got into pharmaceuticals. Went to a company called Adam Laboratories, which is now called Mucinex, and was in sales and worked with managed care, Blue Cross, Foundation Health. Understanding the bigger picture, the bigger ecosystem. And that kind of pulls me into my next level of the conversation. Then I went to Allergan, makers of Botox, when they were launching Botox, helped them start the skincare division. And then there was a real strong need around their doctors and the need for their entrepreneurs at the purest sense, but they didn't really have a lot of business education, business school. So Allergan was thinking ahead and says, hey, we can bring them some financial benchmarking, patient flow, leadership, compensation, different resources. And so I did that for 10 years, worked for Allergan. And one of the most recurring needs was financial management and they, you know, their cash flow. And they're doing great and they're you know, up 10, 20% in patient volume, but their cash flow is only up 2%, 5%. And they think they're doing great. But then when you show them, you know, the data, there's really a gap. And so you start addressing those gaps within the office flow and you fix it. And then 3 or 4 months later, they're calling you back again. And so at the time, they said, hey, a few of the doctor friends says, hey, there's an opportunity for you to do this yourself. Are you interested? And I said, well, not really. You know, I'm at Allergan. I'm doing good. I'm corporate. I'm coaching. I'm, you know, doing a number of different things. And at the time, I was also did a business with my buddy where we had a family member who had some financial issues. We took over the house, remodeled the house, sold the house, helped them get out of their financial situation. But then we parlayed that into some houses in Lincoln Hills when they're developing back in the day. And so we were able to get a few rentals and then sold those. And then I, again, had a house that we wanted to build. And I bought a book and was, you know, owner builder and built a custom house over there in Whitney Oaks. And then when that was done, what do I do next? Yeah. So I was still at Allergan and saw this need. And I said, you know what? There's an opportunity for me to do something that helps others, which is the doctors in that case. And one of my favorite books is Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yep.
And he talked about, you know, utilizing your time, learning, and parlaying that into the network of possibilities. And then at that time, there's a huge gap in the financial side. And so had a doctor friend who says, hey, I got an employee. Here's a computer. I'll let you use a closet as an office. And you can do my billing for 6 months until you get it off the ground.
Wow.
And then once you're successful, I'd like to have it back, but let's help you get you started. And then the network effect is when you start sharing what you're working on, and especially a lot of the doctors who I help, they started wanting to invest and have me do their work as well. And so trust me, as an entrepreneur, you make a lot of mistakes and you have a lot of friends who love you until you make a mistake on their financials. So how to learn from that. And then where that really goes, though, is to the point of the grit. And we get back to the entrepreneur side, but the grit and why are you here and why are you doing what you're doing? If you don't have a purpose, if you're just trying to make money, if you're just trying to turn the company over, you're going to struggle. And there's a whole mental health side of it that we can get to at some point in time, too. But you're going to struggle. So how do you parlay your vision, your purpose, helping others into a communication with others that then they want to help? And then just people just wanted to help.
Yeah. There's a children's book. It's What Do You Do With an Idea? And it probably takes about 5 minutes to read it or something like that, five to 10, depending on how slow you go if you're reading it to a child. And the premise of the book is that you should share your idea, mm-hmm. and then it sort of takes on a life of its own. Is that what happened with your business? It's like you started sharing it, and it sort of took on a life of its own?
Yeah, it kind of blew me away, to be honest with you. Caring and helping and taking care of others and wanting to have a conversation about what their needs are, over time, you may not see it right away, but over time, they come back. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, hey, what are you working on? Oh, you're working on that? Well, you know what? I'm really interested in that. Or you know what? I'm good with what I have, but I'd like to invest. Mm-hmm. And so we had a number of, I had a friend who was at McKesson at the time, and he said, what are you working on? I told him, he says, you know what? I may have an exit pretty soon here. Actually, it was not McKesson, they were Bobby McKesson, but he had an exit and he said, I'd like to invest and I have some free time. Can I come help? And so he ended up becoming a business partner. And so, interesting twist to this is when you're talking about people's financials, they're comfortable to a certain point, but you don't have a lot of credibility if you haven't done it for a while.
Okay.
And so one of the opportunities we had is we also, he had an experience in building a GPO, a group purchasing organization, where you basically aggregate a number of network members and go to like a Johnson & Johnson or McKesson and say, hey, I have this group here. Can we get them a discount? Because they can't get a discount themselves. Mm-hmm. And so we did that, and we were able to secure a contract for sutures, J&J, one of only three contracts in pretty much North America. And then we took that then, and I took that to a society called ADAM, which is Association of Dermatology Administrators and Managers, and also the California State Dermatology Society. And they were struggling with keeping their members in, mm-hmm. and they're paying the renewal fee without being differentiated. So we said, hey, if you want access to these sutures at a significant discount, you can have that only if you are a member of these societies.
Yeah, the membership pays for the buying group.
Yeah, they're saving 20%, you know, roughly $5,000 to $10,000, and it costs them $500 for membership. And so it was a pretty easy deal. But the point of bringing that up is leveraging their network to finding a need that they have and filling that need. And then they then communicated our company and what we were doing. They then credentialed us to them as a hot connection, saying these people are trustworthy to at least have the conversation, mm-hmm. right? Because they can't guarantee anything. And that then ballooned into our revenue cycle management, our billing company, going to hundreds of doctors we were billing for. We had 1,600 doctors, providers that we had on the GPO. And so we were ultimately acquired in 2015 and stayed with them for 3 years, helped them build that tenfold, and then realized they needed to do something else. And so left, went to VSP, Vision Services Plan, for 5 years as a network senior vice president. See the common theme there, network, mm-hmm. you know, bringing people together, bringing access, solving problems. And I was there for 5 years and decided to go back to consulting. And then I was doing some consulting, and that's when I met Monique and Nikki and yourself. And we were talking about your network and the backyard advantage. And there's so many people that want to help. And there's so many entrepreneurs that want access to those types of resources and services. But there's also LPs and companies that we don't invest in that want access to those resources. How do you bring those stakeholders in that ecosystem together to help each other and create engineering wins, creating those win-wins? Mm-hmm. And so that's when we started having a conversation that brings us to where we're at today.
Yeah, and that is really, I think, where you stood out to me as somebody who is a great listener, great at kind of reading between the lines a little bit, and then helping to bring a solution together that you might not even know you need at the moment, mm-hmm. but you listen enough to engineer the win. And maybe let's talk about that as a skill, listening. I mean, when we go to a cocktail party or we go anywhere, and a lot of times people, you pull their string and they just talk, and they don't listen. So what do they get out of it other than, you know, maybe practice pitching a little bit? But if you take time to put yourself in a position to listen, mm-hmm. right, it's great to share your story and your ideas, but putting yourself in a position to listen, to make yourself valuable, that's something we forget to do.
Mm-hmm. I think some people are natural at it, and some others need to learn that. I had to learn it.
Okay.
I was excited, wanted to share my ideas, wanted to help people, and sometimes or help them understand something. And you can talk to my family members, and I'll say, Tom, yeah, Tom talks quite a bit. But also, I try to listen while I'm talking. And one of the opportunities is when you're wanting to, what I'm learning as I'm getting older, is people want to hear what you have to say, but they also want to share. And one of the opportunities I've had is, how are you doing? Just asking that question. Mm-hmm. And people say, oh, I'm fine. I say, no, how are you doing? And you look them in the eye.
Dive a little deeper.
For some reason, that phrase for me has worked to slow me down, help me be present and intentional in the conversation. And then I'm in a better position to listen. Now, yes, I still talk too much as far as trying to share ideas and thoughts, because I get excited and I get passionate and my energy starts ramping up, but also slowing down sometimes to really understand where the other person is coming from, because everyone wants to be heard, but everyone wants to be seen. And you can be heard but not seen. And if someone's talking through you, then you're not really seen. And so part of that is eye contact, part of that is caring, but part of that is also listening. And I think they're all encompassed in one, and it's a learned trait for some, or a reminder trait.
We were talking yesterday as we were thinking about what we might talk about on the show, and you used the term being vulnerable or vulnerability, and a lot of us, it takes courage to be vulnerable. So when we can't muster up that courage, we basically put on the front. And one of the things I look for in any friend or anybody is their authenticity. When we make investments into founders, we look for commitment, we look for humility, but we look for authenticity. And it's really easy just to put on the fake it till you make it kind of face. And people are, I think, are more attracted to the real you versus the facade.
You know, it's an intriguing approach. Yes, 100%. And for a lot of individuals, especially in leadership positions, entrepreneurs, leaders of family, both wife and husband, father and mother, grandparent, whoever it is, they're kind of looked at as to have the answers, to know the way. And the reality is everyone's on their journey. And there is no one way. And so for me, I had to learn as being, you know, a captain on a team to leader, management positions, you don't have to have the answers. And as a matter of fact, exactly what you said is you can be authentic and you can be sincere. But if you don't show vulnerability that you're not perfect, that you're a human being, there's a little barrier there. Yeah. And you can't always describe it, but you can feel it.
Yeah, I feel like I see the lack of vulnerability when I turn on the news, the mainstream media. It's usually kind of a divisive sort of thing. It's the right or the left, and they don't budge on their viewpoints based upon what the party line is, and maybe like listen to the other side. But in reality, when you're building a team, or we're building a society, or we're building a community, it makes so much sense to put us all as just human, right? I remember when I was growing my one of my security camera businesses, we were hiring, I'd say an average about five people a week for a few years. And so we were doing a lot of hiring. And so we'd all start, have the new people all start on Mondays. So everybody starts on a Monday. So you have five, six people in the room starting on a Monday. And I would have a meeting, kind of an orientation with them on day one, three, five, and like day 60. I would kind of keep this, trying to build the culture, trying to create the culture. And one of the things that we did is we asked questions in these small groups on your first day on the job. And or maybe it was day three, excuse me. I think it was day three as you get, you go a little deeper. First day was like, where's the bathroom and all that kind of stuff, what we do around here. But day three was, I guess, humanizing the other people in the room. Hey, we're all new. Let's get to know each other. And one of the questions that I asked was, what was your biggest challenge in childhood? And so people would go around and share whatever their biggest challenge was in childhood, and people would get vulnerable because all it takes is one person to get vulnerable and share, well, my dad got sick and he passed away young and that left me, you know, brokenhearted. And people would break down and cry, and then people would start sharing. And we've seen that too in other groups and families and in friend groups. And we have that in entrepreneurs organization, but it works for building community if you can pose a question that sort of allows someone to be vulnerable, right? When it goes a little deeper than even what are you working on? How can I help? Yeah.
Well, in addition to that, and I agree, but also to share vulnerability, meaning, as a leader, you're expected to have, yes, you're supposed to have confidence. Yes, you're supposed to provide direction, and you can't be, I don't know all the time, because people are lack direction then. So you have to have some direction. But doing that with humility and being humble in how you do that is, I had to learn it over time, because it didn't come natural to me at first. But it's really saying, you know what, that's a, you know, our direction is, you know, this. But there's different ways to get there. And I'm very interested in your perspective, because you come from a different background. What are your thoughts on that? Or what ideas do you have? And then they share. And then you may have an example of something where you tried something and it didn't do it well. So you know what? I've done that sort of thing. And I struggled with that. And it took me a long time to figure that out. You know, is there a way we can close the gap on that? And so to have a conversation that way shows you're vulnerable in the sense that you're not perfect. You're sharing that not everyone is going to have the right answer and it's going to work out every single time, but we'll work through it together and we'll figure it out. So bringing that part of the conversation in, yes, it's vulnerable, but it also creates space. And I call it the safe space. Creating space for a conversation, for idea sharing, because too many times we have great individuals that work with us and we close them in to where they don't want to share, or they don't feel they can share, or they forget how to share because they're taking direction versus having a conversation on how we can grow together.
Yeah. And every CEO, and I found this out, I would say, through trial and error as a CEO of a few companies over time, is I didn't really have the big problem being vulnerable. That's sort of my personality and maybe trying to demonstrate as much humility as I can or as I felt was appropriate, or that's just my normal personality. But the CEO also has to say, okay, guys, we're taking the hill and we're going now. Absolutely. It's go time. Hey, listen up. We are doing this. Period. End of story. No BS. You have to have a strong backbone as the CEO, regardless of how empathetic you might be.
Yep. Agreed. And I think that's for, especially on the business side, that is very important, but also on the family side. Mm-hmm. Because kids are watching. The kids' friends are watching. You know, we have, four kids. They're 24, 26, 26, and 29 now. And it's great to watch them grow and develop and make decisions and moving forward. But they are in a space where they're bringing their ideas forward, but they also need to take action, and they are. So many times people don't feel comfortable taking action or moving forward because they're waiting for permission or they're waiting for it to be perfect. And I try to stress 70% is great enough. Let's move forward. We'll figure out the other 30%. In addition, I much rather make a mistake. And as long as we own it, fix it, learn from it, then that's great. Let's go.
Yeah.
Because inactivity, and I've had that in my life too, where I've had people around me who procrastinate, they're afraid to make a decision, and they never do, or they rarely do. And when they do, they don't do it with confidence. So they don't instill confidence around the people that are working with them or partaking in that journey.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you're a member of a family or the member of a team in a business, I think having enough self-awareness and awareness of what's going on to know when to question what we're doing, when it's time to just back the company mantra, you're in or you're out type thing. And you've got to be able to make that decision and go regardless and not spend all your time questioning when we're taking the hill now.
Exactly.
So it's go time. There's no time to mess around with indecision. So there's a lot of times like that in business, and I think I think the great teams have that. The inner circle backs each other and goes based upon what leadership says needs to happen.
Well, it's intriguing when you say great team, because that's really what it's about, and it's a culture within a team. And that's when we look at the Backyard Advantage, we look at Growth Factory. That's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. Because I said I want to have a purpose. I want to work with people I enjoy being around, and I want to make a difference.
Well, I've been the the person with the mic that has yelled Backyard Advantage and love and a culture of love from the rooftops. I made a lot of noise about that, and then I've had teammates come in and help formulate that into the Growth Factory and what the Backyard Advantage is coming. But when you're a small team, you have this culture among yourselves, but how do you formulate it so that you know, your 100 plus investors, your corporate partners, your founders and their portfolio companies, how do you bring the rest of the community at large? How do you get them all organized and coming together and creating that structure? Because ultimately, that is the team, right? That's mm-hmm. the broader team. And that's really what you're working on, which mm-hmm. is really what I'm excited about, is you are bringing, I guess, glue to the to what we've been doing up to this point. So maybe you can share with us what you're working on at the Growth Factory in terms of bringing our partners together.
Yeah, so specifically brought in the Growth Factory Enterprise is the commercial side of the fund, if you think about it that way. We have the fund, we have a studio that we're building, we have an operating system we're building, so great job, Rick, great job, Ali. But the commercial side or the industry-facing side is really an area that I can focus on based on my background, the network. And when you look at the ecosystem, you look at the community that you created. And hats off to you guys over the last 2-3 years, creating the Backyard Advantage. It's becoming a household word now, Backyard Advantage. But it's not just the love, but it's how can you help each other in that love? Because you can love someone all day long, but if you're not helping them with what they need.
Love's a feeling, but it's also a verb.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you look at the different stakeholders you mentioned, the LPs, limited partners, for those who don't know, limited partners, those who invest in the fund, that then we then go invest in companies. Portfolio companies, those are the companies we invest in. But there's also hundreds of companies that share their vision, their deck, their business, and ask for investments or partnership that we are not in the place at the time to partner with them. So there's a huge stakeholder there as well. And then we have industry, the partners, the city, state, government people, the supporting, you know, business operational side of thing, accounting, finance, legal, business operations, facility management, et cetera, that all of these stakeholders, if you think about it, have heard the message and they're coming to be invested in. They're being invested. They're bringing funding. They're wanting to participate and bring their services to these companies to be part of this Backyard Advantage. That's the partners. How do you bring them together to allow the natural conversation about what are your needs and how can I help each other? And that's what we have, the partnership program that we've developed in 2026, which in the past we'd have events. And let's just say we had 10 to 15 events last year. And then we'd say, okay, we're having an event and here's what we're going to do. And then, hey, who as a partner would like to sponsor this? And that's great and it worked. But it's challenging. You can't scale that. It's really hard to go after, you know, sponsorship and partnership and what partners want to invest when and the budget, their time and money as well. So we created the 2026 program, which basically make it easier and faster for them to participate. And what that is we're putting on 36 events this year, at least 36. We have 36 on the calendar. We're going to show not just the partners, but also our portfolio companies and whoever. Listen, here are the different events we're going to put on over the calendar year. How would you like to participate? And part of that is through sponsorship. They can sponsor. And then those companies that really get the Backyard Advantage really participate in the events. And by the way, the events aren't just an event where you bring people. They're actually forums. We have an innovation forum where we're bringing construction, healthcare, and different sectors together to say, separate ones, to sit them down at a table and say, what's going on in the industry? What gaps do you have? How are you using technology and AI to solve those now? What are opportunities that you have coming into you, your company ideas from outside that maybe you can funnel through us and through our operating system that we can take a look at to help design something or figure something out in our studio to then help you in that industry or in that sector. And then there's opportunities to invest in that and bring IP in that and bring people in that. But it's really that conversation. And we had a construction innovation forum in January that went so well that we're going to have a series of those for that sector. And we had a healthcare investment and wealth forum where we brought doctors and healthcare executives, C-suite executives together to have a conversation on investment and how do they invest and how do they look at healthcare companies and how do healthcare companies look at investors. And again, same type of conversation where they were excited and they wanted to have more a series of that. And I bring this up as an example of bringing different sectors together. Well, you may have a wealth management or a financial banking company that may, hey, I'd like to sponsor, participate in a healthcare investment in wealth forum as an example. The construction innovation forum, we may have a construction company or an accounting company or a banking company says, hey, I'd like to participate in sponsoring, but they also have a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. So they get to participate in how they affect that industry as well. And so I'm bringing this up as an example of these are the type of events we're going to put on. These are 10 to 40 people events, but we also have 150 person event that we have coming up in February where we're going to bring together all the stakeholders we just talked about and have about four different companies that are presenting different ideas around innovation and then having a conversation about that. And we just had the mixer last week. Mm-hmm. Where we had to close it. We had so many people interested, 120 people that showed up at a social event where we had a conversation and we had so much feedback because it was fun. And they said, it's not like typical events where it's very coat and tie and, you know, transactional type conversation. It really was conversations amongst LPs and portfolio companies and partner companies, just having a conversation on what they're working on.
Yeah. And I've noticed that at the construction event, the construction roundtable and the medical as well. And the other events, we're able in these size groups with, and I think we're even the back my backyard where we had 300 yep. plus people, we're able to reinforce that culture. It does. We don't become something else when the group gets large or the groups gets highly technical. Mm-hmm. We don't lose the love piece and the culture piece, the help one another piece. In fact, it's reinforced. And what's remarkable to me is that people appreciate that so much. Even mm-hmm. a PhD in neuroscience, yep. he appreciates that, she appreciates that, or an executive in a very large construction company, he or she believes in that too. You want to be around, I guess, people that you can learn from and that you can help, but that are human, and you have a chance yeah. to be human.
Human, and you mentioned a few examples, but there's also city government people who are not necessarily on the business side, but they're affected their community and their taxes and the employment and the opportunities and jobs in the situation in that environment are impacted by what happens. And so they're at these events as well. And what's interesting is these events are basically a vehicle. As I talked about my network experience in the past, it's a vehicle to bring together the stakeholders to have a natural conversation that's not forced. There's some education that goes on at those events. There's some information sharing that goes on those events, but there's a lot of connecting. And what's unique in this environment past compared to my past, I don't have to go around and introduce people. They're introducing themselves to each other. And the feedback we get on every one of these events, and I can read them to you because we take them, but it's, what a great, I enjoyed myself and I met a number of people that either helped my business or helped give me suggestions, or I met a mentor, or I met someone who just shared their story and we had a great time talking. So it's really that opportunity, it's that vehicle to bring this ecosystem, the stakeholders and ecosystem, your backyard advantage mm-hmm. to then create the next evolution of the backyard advantage, which ultimately is going to be a bigger backyard, Mark. I know you got a bigger one, but you may have to get one more bigger. And it's really bringing that network. And when you're real with that network and you share what you can and can't get out of this, no, we're not going to get you a deal out of this. You know, we're not going to, if a company wants to get invested in, we're not going to bring you to an event and say, oh, yep, you're going to get an investor out of this event. That's not what it's about. It's really about that person who does want to get invested in, as an example, they talk to others to learn what are different ideas I can, different approaches I can have, or meet someone, or meet a different person in another network. And it's really connecting the networks as well. And what's the last thing I was going to mention about this is when you bring someone into a network, they're ultimately bringing their network into the network. And it's what happens at that event will either close that network to the rest of the network, or it opens it up. Yeah. And so every single person has a responsibility within the current stakeholders and the future stakeholders to talk, Be vulnerable. Have conversations. Ask, what are you working on? How can I help? Because that's really how these evolve and how the network in Sacramento, Northern California, California, and the United States then impacts all the communities, because it's not just who shows up. It's their family member. They walk home and they're super excited. They drive home. They're super excited. They share with their family. Here's what happened. Here's who I met. I'm super excited. Well, then the family and the kids see that excitement and they see that energy. And then someone's friends coming over to visit, they see it. So it really is a trickle effect throughout the community, not just financially, but with the energy and spiritually, it also impacts everyone.
Yeah. And if you're out there and you're thinking about, well, how do you build a community like this? I can share two things, I guess, two lessons or principles that have come to mind through this time. And one came from a buddy of mine. His name's Roger Akers. You know Roger?
No, I don't.
He's just a great guy that has done a lot for the Sacramento region. And he's got a lot of wisdom. And he said, you need to have a no assholes rule. And so I always took that, even though we don't, you know, we don't have a sign that, or we don't even talk about that. This is the first time I think I've even ever brought this up, but it's kind of a way of thinking that, you know, bring in the right kind of people when you're, if you're bringing something, somebody to one of our events, bring in the right kind of person that gives more than they take. By and large. And the other thing that's just been a principle of mine, and I think this is why I ended up wanting to focus on my hometown of Sacramento, is build from the inside out. I've always believed in that. Get yourself right. Mm-hmm. That's the start. If you can't do that, then how you gonna help your family, right? So you got to get yourself right, your family right, your business right, your business partners right. Get that right. And can just continue to build off of, I guess, something that's working at some level, so that you don't end up with a bozo explosion, if you will. If the first 10 people that you bring into your community are bozos, you're going to have a bozo explosion. You don't want that to happen. And we didn't do that. I mean, Rick and you and Ali and the others and our investors, these are good people. These are really the kind of people you want to spend time with.
Well, and it takes me back to my Wilton days. You know, back on the ranch, and grew up on a 20-acre ranch and had farmlands all around us. This is back in the, you know, late 70s and 80s. And you'd be shocked when you're out there bucking hay. That's putting basically hay bales in the back of a truck or trailer and moving it to a barn. You're out there by yourself, and all of a sudden someone will drive up and get out of their truck and help. And someone else will come out and help. And next thing you know, it's done. Mm-hmm. And you're sharing a beer or a soda together and talking. And like, that is the backyard advantage. That is the network. And that is how this network works. And that's why they, you know, they should be rewarded as well. You know, the investment, the opportunity, you know, in the program, we're also creating a preferred list. So those partners who participate in a number of events that show that they're really active, engaged in the backyard advantage and growing the backyard advantage, we're going to put them on a preferred list. And I want to share this because when I left corporate and went to be an entrepreneur, I didn't know who to talk to as far as, I had it all at corporate, but I didn't know accounting, legal, HR, anything, tech, IT, anything. I had to call around to find and interview people. I want to create a list, like an Angie's List, you know, it says, hey, here are the different companies in these areas who are participating in the Backyard Advantage, and these are the ones you really need to talk to. And so that's an opportunity there. But it's also, if you look at an LP investing, they're not just investing in our fund. They typically are an angel investor and doing other things. How can we then share our experience to where they want to share it outside of that? But also they're bringing back ideas from their angel investments to us as well. So it's really all the different stakeholders. And when they buy into the backyard, they participate and engage in the backyard advantage. Those are the ones that are, like I said, out there on the ranch helping buck the hay, and they're there for you.
Well, the Backyard Advantage is this give first, pay it forward philosophy that feels good to the people that are being generous with their time or their experience or their wisdom. Mm-hmm. I have to imagine those, when you're bucking that hay, that the person who got help, he or she is happy. But the people that are satisfied because they contributed for no money, no pay, yep. maybe a cold beverage, maybe not, just for the...
They weren't even asked.
Yeah, just for... It feels good yep. to help people. And that's what we, I think, forget so many times. It feels good to help people.
Yeah, and that's a big point. And it also comes back to the mental health side of it. Because, you know, entrepreneurs, all those entrepreneurs out there, it's not easy. It's not easy. There's so many challenges. You feel like you're on an island sometimes. You're not an island. There's a huge network of individuals here we can connect you with, we can help you with. There's professionals out there, and whether the consultants or you know people that can help in different ways, ask for help. Because you know, when you're out there bucking hay, it's 100 degree heat and you're about to pass out, you don't ask for help. You're not doing anybody good if you're laying on the ground. But sometimes you do have to ask for help. And you're not on an island by yourself.
Yeah. Okay, so last couple of questions is, how do we get involved? You know, how do we help if somebody wants to be a part of what we're all building together with this Backyard Advantage that we talk about a lot? How do somebody get involved? And then last question, what did I not ask you? I kind of rambled myself on some ideas that I had, but I want to make sure you've had a chance to share your thoughts and to completion.
No, I appreciate that. So I say two things. One is we will have our new website up in a couple of weeks. We're super excited about that. So currently you can go to growthfactory.vc and get the basic information. So if you want to contact us, absolutely. In about 2 weeks, we'll have our new website up and there'll be a lot of content there, an opportunity to engage as well. And obviously you can email us. We can publicize that as mm-hmm. well. But what we didn't talk about, and I'll just talk briefly, yeah. is what else we're working on the Growth Factory Enterprise side is Legacy Labs. So we're basically creating an education, a financial literacy education for both general education on financial literacy. I mean, interest rates and checking account and paying off debt and, you know, the basics that a lot of us didn't get when we were growing up, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to have an investment side of it. We're basically investment, everything from basic investment to CDs and mutual funds to angel investing, et cetera. And we really started out with Rick and Zach Hansen and JSL talking about the younger generation doesn't always, in high schools, they don't teach it. So is there an opportunity, and a lot of successful family-owned businesses, 68% of family-owned businesses fail from generation one to generation two. And the highest reason for that is mismanagement of the financial side of the yeah. business.
I feel like a lot of people, and I've seen this before, is they don't really understand the value of the dollar, of a dollar, mm-hmm. right? So the generation one goes and builds some wealth and creates all kinds of opportunity for generation two. They have some idea, but generation three... They just know they've always been going sitting in the front row of the yeah. 49er games, and they don't know really how it got done. They just know they're there and they're happy. Yeah. But can they go create themselves? Can they be a builder as well, or did it all get left with the first generation?
Yes, and it's a multi-generational situation. It's not just one individual. If you look at a couple things, one is the person who built the business then has a hard time retiring because oftentimes the family and extended family are dependent on revenues or income coming from that source. And so how can you assure that is, I'll say sure. How can you increase the probability that increases and give that person an opportunity to exit? Mm-hmm. And that is through financial literacy and education. But also there are, high schools and, different, parts of our community that are underserved and they just don't get the resources. So those are also opportunities where you can bring a weekend course to individuals like that. And it affects multiple generations in the future by helping them create a foundation that they can make stable decisions and consistent stable decisions based on basic financial literacy.
Yeah, and I hope that gives people hope because I do think that there are people that just have not been exposed in a way to see what kind of opportunities are out there. And you sort of get, depending on how you grew up, you get affected, you get sheltered mm-hmm. or from certain parts of society. And there is so much opportunity in America that you need to be open-minded to things that you don't know around those opportunities. And some of it's about building businesses or creating wealth. Anybody can do it. You just have to think maybe differently than the way you've been thinking.
Exactly.
So, well, Tom, thanks for coming on the show.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for being my business partner and bringing the love, bringing the culture to all of our partnerships and to the rest of the backyard. And the best is yet to come. We're just getting started.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Mark.
You bet. And to all you out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship and for the backyard advantage, and, of course, all of you out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, our security, and our way of life. Here at Haney Biz, the Mark Haney Show, and the Growth Factory, we're never above you. We're never below you. Always by your side.
This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.